you haven't already, and we'll jump into the book of Proverbs this morning. We'll be back in our regular series about the life of Abraham out of Genesis next week. But today, let's look at Proverbs. This is kind of a New Year's message. Let's go to the Lord and ask for his help as we look at his word. Our Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is true. And I pray that you would help us right now to hear your word, to understand it, to believe it, to obey it. I pray that you would help us by your spirit right now and that you do your work in us. And we want to be open to responding to you. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. We're about to start a new year. In fact, we're about to start a new decade. Goodness. And it is resolution time. Have you made your New Year's resolutions yet? It's good to have goals. It's good to make plans. One thing about resolutions, though, is that it is difficult to keep them. Can I get a witness on that? The resolution that most of us usually make about this time is we're going to start our new exercise regimen. We're going to resist all the sweet stuff, too many Christmas cookies. We got to turn over a new leaf. But as you know, that round about Valentine's Day, the gyms are empty again, and we're all eating chocolate. It's hard to keep those resolutions. What's also difficult about resolutions is making the right one. You know, knowing what to resolve. There's a lot of things you could resolve. A lot of good options out there about good things that you could do. How do you know what the right resolution to make is? To make the right resolution and to keep the right resolution after you've made it, you need wisdom. Wisdom is what we're going to talk about today. Wisdom is what we need when we make decisions, making the right choice. And if you're here today and sometime in the year 2020, you're going to make a decision of some kind or another, then this message is for you. And maybe you're not going to make any decisions in 2020, but since we're starting the new decade, if you're going to make a decision in the 2020s, isn't that amazing? The 2020s. If you're going to make a decision in the 2020s, this is going to be a good message for you. We're going to look at the very beginning of the book of Proverbs, the first seven verses, which are sort of the introduction to this collection of sayings in the whole book of Proverbs. And so I'll read this introduction, and then we'll talk about wisdom and how we can have wisdom today. Let me read, starting in Proverbs 1:1. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for learning wisdom and discipline, for understanding insightful sayings, for receiving prudent instruction in righteousness, justice, and integrity, for teaching shrewdness to the inexperienced, knowledge and discretion to a young man. Let a wise person listen and increase learning, and let a discerning person obtain guidance. For understanding a proverb or a parable, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and discipline. Let us not be fools, right? All of us need wisdom this year because we're going to have a lot of decisions to make this year. And a lot of times when we think about wisdom, we think about the big decisions that we have to make, right? Like if you're deciding where you're going to live, if you're going to move, or whether or not to get married, that's a big decision. Or if you're going to get married, to whom should you get married? That's a big decision. Or which job you're going to take. When we're considering a job, or maybe you have an opportunity to change jobs, to work in a different area in your company, or to switch companies altogether, those are the times where we think we really need wisdom, right? We think that we need wisdom when we're going to make a big purchase, like when you're deciding if you should buy a house, or if you're going to buy a truck, or a flat screen television set. Honey, I know that we said we were thinking about the 50-inch TV, but Best Buy has this really good deal on 1,000-inch TV sets. You know, we should really consider that. Shark Week is really big when you have a 1,000-incher. It's as big as a great white shark in your living room. It's wonderful. Are you excited? So you have to decide whether that's wise or not. But also, we've got small daily decisions that we make, right? They're little decisions that we make every single day over and over and over and over. Whether or not you're going to accept an invitation to go somewhere. Whether or not to say the thing that just popped into your head. Or whether or not to post the thing that just popped into your head. I mean, there's some potential of ruining your marriage for the next 48 hours, right? Whether or not you're going to eat that whole sleeve of Oreos. Whether or not you're going to watch that show. What tone should you use when you say the thing that you need to say, right? What tone? Because there's some people that love confrontations, and every conversation is like an argument or a confrontation, right? And there are other people that hate confrontations, and they're always avoiding confrontations. But some situations require confrontation and some courage to say what's needed to be said, right? And other situations require some gentleness. And you got to have wisdom to know what tone to use when you speak. You need wisdom to know what to say to your coworker who just told you about the problem that they had in their family or the problem that they had with their health. And, you know, what are you going to say to a person who's struggling? You need wisdom to know what to say to your daughter who comes home from school and is having problems with her friends, or your son who comes home and the teacher is being unfair. How do you deal with that? What do you say? And so there are lots of tiny decisions that we make throughout the course of a day, how we're going to use our resources, our time, our money, what ministry we will focus on today, what ministry we'll get involved in this year. Lots of decisions. And the book of Proverbs addresses lots of different categories of different kinds of decisions that people make in different areas of life, marriage and romance, family relationships, moral issues, ethical decisions, your business, your work, how to treat people fairly, how to deal with people who don't treat you fairly, and many other categories. And your life is made up of, you know, all the decisions that you make, right? Like you look back over the past year, and there were some big decisions that you made, but your life is made up of all those small decisions that you made last year. And your life going forward this year will be made up of all the small decisions that you make. And so we want to live wisely. We want to make good decisions because that's what our life is made of. If you can live wisely and choose wisely, you'll have a year that's bright and that's flourishing. Your life will flourish. And if you don't, if you choose unwisely, the consequences could be disastrous. Wisdom is the ability to judge correctly and to follow the best course of action based on knowledge and understanding. So you learn information, you have a good understanding of the data, but it's not just knowing things and knowing information, but it's deciding well and putting that information into action. It's not just having information in your mind, but it's really understanding the information that's out there and not just understanding it, but putting that understanding into practice. That's what wisdom is. It's one thing to watch a YouTube video on how to fix your car, and it's another thing to actually fix your car, right? I remember one time we were about to go on vacation, and I pulled the latch on the trunk of our minivan, the rear hatch, and the latch wouldn't work. And I didn't have time to fix it, so that whole vacation, I had to load all the luggage and everything else in and out through the inside of the car, which was a real hassle. And when I got home, I thought, I'm going to fix this thing. And so I pull out the YouTube, and I watch the video of the guy who makes it look so simple, right? If you only order this part, if you only follow these simple steps, you will be able to replace the latch in your Toyota Sienna. It's going to be a piece of cake. And so I went to my toolbox, and I got a screwdriver, and I crawled in through the side door and got into the trunk and took out a couple screws and pulled a little piece of plastic off and stared at that thing, and then watched the YouTube video again. And then I put the piece of plastic back, and I screwed the screws back in, and I drove to the mechanics. Because, you know, it's one thing to have the information, but it's another thing to be able to fix it. And I did not have wisdom to fix my car, right? It's one thing to read a recipe. It's another thing to actually be able to make an angel food cake with lemon glaze on it. It's one thing to read a manual on how to drive a truck. And it's another thing to be able to, like, take an 18-wheeler down the road and, like, park it where you need to park it and back it up when you need to back it up, right? It's not, the information is not all there is. It's one thing to watch a lot of episodes of ER, and it's another thing to actually take somebody's appendix out, you know? Just because you have hair like George Clooney does not mean you can take my appendix out. It's one thing to go to a parenting conference. It's another thing to actually raise a child. Like, wisdom is more than just information. And there's another element of wisdom. It's like having a sense of what life is all about, what life means, the big picture of life, to have a philosophy of life that fits together so that all the little decisions that you make are going in a direction. You know, like that you have a guiding principle, you have a North Star, so that you know how to steer the ship of your life. I heard somebody say one time that there are some things that are right and there are some things that are wrong. And for the rest of things, you need wisdom. You know, there are some things that are clear in the Bible that we shouldn't do, and other things that are clear that we should do. And for everything else, you need wisdom. And I think that's true to a degree, but wisdom is also the right and the wrong, because sometimes it's not just knowing that something is wrong, it's actually the ability to resist it, you know, to resist the wrong thing. Sometimes we know the right thing to do, but we fail to do it. Or we know the wrong thing, what's wrong to do, and we do it anyway, again, right? So wisdom is not just knowledge, it's putting things into practice. It's not just doing things better, but doing the right things, having a big picture of life, making the right choices, and having the discipline to do what's right in the right situation. you know, even Solomon, who collected and composed many of these Proverbs, fell into folly, you know, at the end of his life. It's not just knowing what's right, it's actually doing it. Wisdom is actually doing it. This text that I just read talks about who needs wisdom. If you notice in verse 4, it says that Proverbs are for teaching shrewdness to the inexperienced and knowledge and discretion to a young man. So wisdom is for inexperienced people. It's for young people who are just starting out. So like when you first leave home to go to school or to start a job, you need wisdom. It's a big world out there. You're going to encounter a lot of things you haven't encountered before. You're going to deal with a lot of people that you haven't dealt with before, and you need wisdom to be able to deal with all those things. When you buy your first house, you need wisdom. When you want to get married, when you want to start a family, or if you decide the Lord's leading me to stay single and focus on other things, you need wisdom. If you're going to change careers, you need wisdom. If you're going to start a new ministry, you need wisdom. But if you look at verse 5, it also says, let a wise person listen and increase understanding. Let a discerning person obtain guidance. So wise and experienced people need wisdom too. Sometimes somebody who's really good at something, who's had some success in some area of life, starts to think that he is an expert about everything. Have you ever met anybody like that? You know, you might be a doctor who knows a lot about how the human body works, but that doesn't mean that you know everything about everything, right? You may have had a lot of success in your business, but that doesn't mean you know everything about everything. You may have raised one child, but that doesn't mean you know everything about raising all children, and, you know. So even people who've had experience and people who have been in the Word of God and have some spiritual maturity, that doesn't mean that you know everything about everything and you stop learning. You still need to learn wisdom too and to gain more wisdom. Really wise people understand that the more you know, the more you realize you don't know. You know, the area of knowledge that you have, as it expands, it touches other areas of knowledge that are out there that you don't have. And the more you know, you realize you don't know. And many times, like we said, it's not just a matter of gaining more education, but wisdom is a heart issue where the information that we did know already, we've learned now how to put it into practice. So whether you're young or you're old or somewhere in between, you need wisdom. Whether you're inexperienced or you've been around the block a few times, you need some wisdom. Whether you're just starting your career or you're retired or somewhere in between, you need some wisdom. Whether your kids are babies or your kids are grandparents, you need wisdom. Whether you're a brand new believer in Christ or a mature believer in Christ who's known the Lord a long time, you need wisdom. Whether you're a woman or you're a man or you're married or you're single, everybody needs wisdom. So the last verse that I just read, verse 7, tells us what the foundation of wisdom is, what the beginning of wisdom is. We all need wisdom. How can we make good decisions this year in 2020? And that verse says, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And as you look through the rest of the text, there are a lot of words that talk about wisdom and knowledge. Wisdom, knowledge, understanding, insight, instruction, shrewdness, knowledge, discretion, guidance, understanding. All this fits together. There are different aspects of being wise. The theme of knowing the Lord and fearing the Lord is a theme that's repeated throughout the book of Proverbs. That's the summary of the wisdom that's contained in this book. If you look at chapter 2, verse 5, the writer is discussing how you need to seek after wisdom. And then verse 5 says, then you will understand the fear of the Lord. So wisdom is connected to the fear of the Lord. And discover the knowledge of God. So to have wisdom, you need to know God. Not just know about him, but actually know him. And then if you look at chapter 9, verse 10. It's almost the same phrasing that's in chapter 1. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So if you want to have wisdom, you have to fear the Lord and know him. Knowing God is wisdom. Having a relationship, being in a relationship with him, a covenant relationship with God, knowing him. And if you flip over to chapter 15, verse 33, a similar thought. The fear of the Lord is what wisdom teaches, and humility comes before honor. So if you're humble enough to fear the Lord, to acknowledge that he knows more than you, he knows more than me, that's the starting point of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The beginning point of knowledge is fearing the Lord. It's not the beginning in the sense of a starting block, like when sprinters run a race in the Olympics and there's a starting point and they get off the blocks and now they're off and they've left it behind. It's the beginning point in the sense of a foundation that's built, and all the decisions that you make rest on the firm foundation of fearing the Lord. The foundation of a wise life is fearing the Lord. What does it mean to fear the Lord? Fearing the Lord, first of all, is acknowledging the Lord. It's considering him. It's acknowledging that he knows more than we do, that he puts the laws of the universe in place. They're his laws. So when we violate his laws, no wonder we face the consequences. And he has the power to override the laws of the universe that he's put in place if he wants to. You know, he can work miracles. And if we trust him, then he is able to provide and protect and heal and guide. How dare we make a decision, any decision, without considering the Lord, without bringing the Lord into the picture. Whenever we have a decision to make, if we want to be wise about it, that's a great starting point, is to say, to ask, what would the Lord say about this? How does the reality that I'm in a relationship with the God of the universe change this decision? How does the fact that God exists and that he is sovereign and in control, how does this change my decision? So fearing the Lord is, first of all, acknowledging him. It's also submitting to him. Fearing the Lord is submitting to him. A lot of times when we're making a decision, we do have fear, right? But what we fear is messing up. Like you think about taking a new job. What are you afraid of? Well, you're afraid of not being able to do the job well, not being able to succeed in that company. Maybe I'm going to flub it. Or you fear, what if this company tanks out? What if this company goes bankrupt or gets bought by another company or things don't work out? Or what if the the sector of the economy that I'm working in crashes. We have those sorts of fears when we make decisions. We fear our own ability. We fear that we're going to mess up. We fear that circumstances will be beyond our control, that disaster will strike. What we really need to fear is the Lord. That's what we really should be afraid of. And we need to fear displeasing him. We need to fear violating his commands. If we fear the Lord, we'll obey him. We'll submit to him. So when we're making a decision, we should ask ourselves, is what I'm about to do in violation of any of God's commands? Does it please him? A lot of times when we make a decision, we think the ends justify the means. Okay, maybe I'm not going to do something right now, but it's for a good purpose down the road. Maybe I have to fudge the truth a little bit today, but it's for a good reason. It's going to work out. Are we fearing the Lord if we do that? You know, do you really trust that if you obey him, he will take care of you or not? Do you really fear the Lord? Do you fear him enough to obey him? So fearing the Lord is acknowledging him, it's submitting to him, and finally, fearing the Lord is trusting in him. It says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And in the book of Proverbs, when that term knowledge is used, it's talking about knowing God, being in a relationship with him. Because God loved us first, and he knows us, and he calls us to be in relationship with him through his son. And we can know God through Christ. We trust, because we're his, we belong to him. We trust that his ways are above our ways and better than our ways, that God's foolishness is wiser than man's wisdom, like it says in 1 Corinthians, that the foolishness of the cross of Christ is what saves us, that the Son of God dying for us brings our salvation. And if we trust in that foolishness of God, can't we trust in God for every little thing? Real wisdom is not getting smarter only or just knowing more, but it's trusting in the one who is all-knowing and who's all-powerful and who loves us. One of my mentors, somebody that I worked for years ago when I was a school teacher, he was the director of a school that I taught at, told me that a good principle when you're making a decision is to say, which choice is the choice where I'm trusting God more? That's wisdom, right? How can I trust the Lord in this decision? Sometimes, like if you're deciding, should I act, should I move forward, or should I not? Sometimes acting is trusting God. But sometimes, you know, don't just do something, stand there. Sometimes waiting on God is trusting him more. And so it's trying to think through, in this decision, which is the choice where I'm trusting the Lord? That's wisdom. The foundation of a wise life is fearing the Lord. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for these words, for the wisdom that is in these words, and I pray that we would rely on you and trust in you, that we would fear you with holy fear, with reverence and respect, because you are God. And help us to live trusting in you. And we just ask for your help today. I pray for your people here, that you'd help all of us follow after you and trust in you. And we pray in your Son Jesus' name, amen.